Welcome to Return on Podcast, where we talk about the experiences, obsessions, and habits of the most successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Tyler Jeffcoat. I want to welcome you to this episode of ROP. You've heard of Return on Investment. Well, this is Return on Podcast. Hey, in today's episode, I want to talk about the power of having the right influencer videos for your listings on Amazon. I want to talk about the anatomy of the best user-generated content, if you can get it. And then I want to talk about how you can add these kinds of content pieces to your playbook to increase your conversion ratios on Amazon. Let me bring in my guest for the day. J-Dub, Justin Wilhite is my friend from the other side of the country. How you doing, homie?
Doing good. How you guys doing?
Life is good. J-Dub, you're the owner of ConsumerQuest.online, ConsumerQuest.online, where you help brand owners increase conversion rates by using the right video content. Dude, you've got a day job with this little company called Twitch that some may or may not have heard of. Give us their, you know, blip in the people have heard of Seller Accountant, Twitch they've never heard of. So, dude, tell me a little bit about your journey from like Twitch influencer world into let me do this user generated content for brands out there. How has that pivot been for you?
There's been a lot. So pivot, I wouldn't even call it a pivot. This is a simultaneous thing that I'm running here. So I currently work full time at Twitch as an employee. So a lot of people always ask, you work at Twitch? Does that mean you stream on Twitch? And it's like, no, I am actually an employee of Twitch. I do not stream on Twitch often. Used to. Then I got hired there and that all stopped. And there's a whole lot of reasons why that's the case. But anyway, I work full time in influencer marketing at Twitch, and I've been there. I've been doing influencer marketing for about 3 years. I've been at Twitch for almost 6 years. In October, it'll be 6 years at Twitch. Along that journey, during my entire time at Twitch, I was actually doing a YouTube channel. So I have a tech review YouTube channel that I'm still kind of dabbling in, continuing to push forward. But I did that for about 5 years, and I got really good at making videos, at talking about products, right? Brands. I worked with lots of large brands that would send me products, and I'd do reviews of them. And I've gotten really good about speaking about specs and details and how to use them and the right use cases for people and audio quality and phone specs and watches and all sorts of stuff. And what I found was YouTube was awesome. It was a really cool environment, but it was very much it was me trying to grow myself as a personality. The tech was like the tool that you use to do that, but I was trying to kind of become somebody. I wasn't in my personal ambitions for this stuff, this content stuff, isn't about that. I don't want to be a celebrity. That sounds strange. I know in a world where everyone wants to be an influencer, everybody wants to be a celebrity. That's not what I'm seeking. I wanted to kind of make a business out of this stuff. I wanted to be a service that I could work with brands to help them achieve KPIs and goals and things like that. And so back in March of last year, I received an invitation to join the Amazon Shoppable Videos program. And basically, I've been an Amazon influencer and associate for a long time. So I've been, you know, from YouTube videos, sending people over to buy the products that I'm talking about. They've kind of launched this whole new program, and I was invited to start making videos on Amazon. After starting that, I found massive success and started to see the data behind those videos and watching the conversion rates on some of these videos and for these products. And they're insane, which we'll probably cover here in a little bit. But the conversion rates that I'm seeing on this video is just bonkers. And that's how I kind of strangely found myself. It was just kind of like an invitation, like, hey, come over and do what you're doing over there, but do it over here. And it was like kind of revolutionized what I do. And since that point, I've just been slowly but surely building and growing and turning this into a really powerful little business. So yeah.
So let's go there for a second, because you're talking about just case study to try to bring this home. Somebody would send you or your team a product. You would generate the video, the content that really makes that product easy to explain. Because you think about that. If you're on the UI on the Amazon app, which so many people are buying on the phone right now, or whether it's on the web app, like that first glimpse, that first video of somebody either unboxing or interacting with your product, I would imagine that has a huge impact on, you know, CFO speak, the conversion ratio. Right? Give me some nuggets on what you're seeing in the space and how powerful that kind of content is.
So there's a lot of things. So just a level set. I work in the influencer industry from the brand side, where I am actually contracting influencers to make content to achieve my company's KPIs. But then on the flip side, I am now working as an influencer for brands. So I get to see the whole thing on both sides of the table. I get to kind of live the influencer life, I guess you could say, doing both ends of the deal. And right, so that gives me a really clear picture of what it actually means to have KPIs, have, you know, sales goals that I'm trying to hit, and then actually engaging with an influencer and trying to see what that actually produces, because that's hard to do. Like, influencer marketing is huge, right? It's a huge hot button right now. Everybody's doing it. They're on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube. It's a huge driver for off-platform traffic. Get people from the social media platforms and get them over to these product pages and have them buy your product. That's the idea. That's the goal of all of that. What I do in the video production that I do specifically is post all of that. So they've watched the guy on YouTube. They've watched the guy on TikTok. They've listened to the girl on Instagram who's doing, you know, fashion stuff. They've seen your paid media on Facebook, or they're on Amazon and you did a really good job and you showed up in the related slot and you got them over to your listing. That's where they're going to eventually scroll down to the video section and they're going to find my video. That's kind of the idea there. And the goal of that video is, now they're here, they're warm, they're ready to buy, they're on your page. We got to get them to actually add it to the cart and complete the sale, right? Everything culminates to that specific moment, right? That is what you need them to do. And so that's what I try to affect. It's ultra important, I would say, for both, you know, existing listings to have user-generated content, but not just any user-generated content, because anybody out there that's selling products on Amazon, I don't know if any of your customers are sellers or anything, you know, related. Probably not. I mean, I don't know why we'd be doing this. But if you scroll down there, you're going to find all sorts of stuff. You're going to find your merchant video, which is great. You have to have one of those that's up there. It's like kind of the flashy video that talks about your product. But then you're going to find those videos that are like 13 seconds and it's the shaky camera of who knows what they're showing you. Like, the box got there and it was ripped. Like, I don't know. Like, it's useless kind of information. And it takes up those video slots. And that's the content that people that are potentially going to buy your product are going to go scroll down. They're going to see that stuff, right? The importance of having a crafted UGC content waiting for them there is the kicker, right? That's where you can actually like affect what happens, that decision point. Instead of seeing those junk videos, if they scroll down and they see a video where a guy's gonna show them exactly what's in there, what the packaging looks like, they're gonna pull it out, they're gonna show them that it comes with the cables that they need, the charging that they need, it's gonna have the little screen protector thing that they were hoping it would, it even comes with a bonus pair of XYZ, you know, stuff, like, here's everything you get, and then let's talk about how you use it. What's the purpose of it? You know, how does it work? That right there is often enough to get people to say, okay, that's what I came here for, and that's exactly what I was hoping it was, and that's what I want. Right now, full transparency, as of this episode being done right now, this month, my conversion rate, now the conversion rate that they calculate here that we get on my side, the data that I get to see, is based on the number of clicks they click on my video to the number of ordered items. So not just adding it to the cart, but actually like completing the order. 52.34% my conversion rate currently at this time. I've never dipped below a 47% conversion rate in my time doing Amazon videos.
That's really well, by the way, J-Dub, because I think by the time we've paid money to get them to the listing, we've paid our SEO team to get our listing optimized. Darn it, we need to be converting once the eyeballs are here. And I think there is a lot of money being left on the table because there is the one middle schooler took a video with a really bad phone and it's not a great experience. You don't really know how big the item is. Is it going to fit on my shelf? Am I going to have the skills to put it together? And so I think when I think about this, I feel like you're the guy who's lowering the buyer anxiety, that last notch. And by lowering the buyer anxiety, you get them to actually pull the trigger and consummate the sale, which is great.
Totally. Exactly. And that's the thing. And I mean, that's a really high conversion rate. I know that, I mean, 52% conversion rate in any form of marketing. I mean, being a marketer myself, knowing like if someone could buy a 52% conversion rate on their marketing, like they would probably pay whatever the price tag is. That's a ridiculous, but I understand also these people are super warm, right? They're already on the page. They're 80% of the way there. My goal is to help you get them that extra bit. Now, one of the places, and that's for existing listings, for people who have already got product things out there, it's great to get these types of really well-crafted videos down there. But where I think they're even more important is on day one launch listings, right? Like, you're launching a brand new product, whether it's like an addition to your brand or you're just launching a whole new product. You've got 1,000 other competitors out there. You got to differentiate and you're going to spend money to get people to that page and they're going to show up and there's no reviews. There's no videos, there's no nothing. They literally have to just take your description for what it is. They got to look at your pictures for what they are. And hopefully you got a really good merchant video that just like blows their socks off to get them to add that to the cart and complete the purchase. There's no peer validation whatsoever. And so that's the beauty of working with someone like me in particular, is that I get to work directly with you as a seller. We get to craft this video. We get to upload it on the listing before it's like fully public. And then it's there waiting. So then, yes, you do your influencer marketing on TikTok and Instagram. You do it on Facebook. You promote it on Amazon. People start coming. And at least there's something there for them to see that's not from the brand. It's not saying like, you know, XYZ brand. Because realistically, I mean, you all know if you're out there, like, if you're out there shopping at a car mart and the dude with the Ford thing comes over, okay, this guy's going to try and sell this to me. But if I see another dude wandering around out there with sunglasses on and flip-flops and I go, hey, you ever heard of this truck? And he starts telling me about why he's going to buy that truck. That's a whole different story. That's a completely different validation point. And now, because I'm not being sold, I'm just being told, like, here's what it is, you know?
Yeah, so you're kind of creating, there's a needed, especially if you're trying to get traction on a new listing. I completely agree with you on this one, J-Dub. Like, you need some... You need a little bit of social proof, a little bit of customer validation, and it's expensive to get that validation. And, you know, if you have a bad product, this is my hypothesis. If you have a bad product, no amount of anything is going to create long-lasting value. But if you have a great product and your mission is to properly launch that product, get traction in a competitive landscape, or you've improved upon your competitors, but they've got 500 reviews, doing something that really goes the extra mile to lower the customer's anxiety to create a more tangible user experience, I think is a really good strategy. And so let me ask you a question here. So your calendar is pretty full. I know you do take on clients, but let's say someone either doesn't want to pay the J-Dub to do this, or you're booked out 3 months and you can't do it for them right away. Like, what would you say are the key like anatomy points of this kind of video? Hey, if I could like post something in my Facebook group and someone was willing to like give me a crack at this and I wanted to teach them, do these three or four things, like what would that look like to make a really successful user-generated video?
Yeah, so I think what you're going to find is Amazon UGC videos or videos down in that content area are not YouTube. We're not talking about like, I mean, I know YouTube, right? I know how to do the lights. I know how to do the slow motion, you know, tracking, you know, shots, the pan in, pan out, you know, the cool stutter effects and things like that. That's YouTube. And that's got to, we got to wow people because we got to get them to do a lot of things. We got to get them to like watch this video, be so excited about this product that they're going to go into the description. They're going to click the link. They're going to leave their YouTube session. They're going to go over to Amazon. They're going to look at the product, add it to, I mean, there's so many fail points, right? Amazon is different. The people there are, like I said, they're on your listing already, right? They don't need to be sold anymore. They're there. They've arrived. They want information. So I would say structure is huge. Okay. So when you're making these videos, you have to know also, just like any other video type of, you know, of production, especially on YouTube, is that video viewer drop off. So like the first 20 seconds, you know, you're going to see a lot of people stay through that, but then it's going to crash off. So like, don't make 10-minute videos. No one's going to watch it unless it's somebody who's coming back after they bought a product and you have a really in-depth like instruction guide on how to use this thing. That's fine. That's a very specific customer. But like, keep it under 3 minutes, concise. But deliver as much impact as you can up front. So when you're thinking about making a video, you got to think about, okay, they want to see what the people love to see what the package looks like. I just throw the packages away. I could care less what the box looks like. So many people want to know what the box looks like. Is it nice? Is it pretty? Show them the box. Take everything out, lay it out, show them what they're going to get. Like, this is everything that comes in the box, all the way down to like the little warranty card. Like, just show them all the stuff. Here's everything that you get. Then show them how to use it. But just be thinking when you're talking about these things, when you're building this, think about what you as a brand want to make sure that they know that you think is critical. Right? This can be a lot of different things. So this can be like, here's my main selling points. Here's why I think 90% of the people are coming to buy my product. Put those up front. You want to front load that stuff because you want them to go there and go, yeah, that's what I was. Okay, cool. This is the right one. That's the feature I was looking for, purchasing it. The other thing that you can do is, let's say you're an established product. Let's say you're selling a ton, but you're getting a lot of returns because of one specific type of issue. And it's because the customer is doing something wrong, right? Front load the solution. Hey, this is what it looks like and here's how you use it. But oh, and I was looking through the reviews and I saw that everyone was saying that it doesn't stick to this type of material. It does. You just have to use this extra little piece that we put in there and then it'll work. Like, show them the solution, see if you can help reduce the conversion on your returns. So that kind of stuff. There's a lot.
That's, you know, so beautiful, because I think there's two things you mentioned there I think are really powerful. One is, if I can educate the customer who doesn't want this product because it actually isn't the right solution, I can actually make the algorithm much happier that I don't have those refunds. Not to mention, we always lose money on refunds. We never make money on them. And then the second thing is, if my product requires a little bit of adoption, I'm almost thinking about, like, for those of us who are sellers, like, almost think about a piece of software in your mind. Like, before you're willing to pay for a software on a recurring basis, you're going to want to get through some education to help you use it properly. I'll give you an example of this. Like, we use some software at Seller Accountant to reconcile Amazon transactions. And it took a lot of training for my team to get good at using that software. But now that we know how to do it and we can't screw it up, they've made it idiot-proof for my team. We use it. We buy a lot of that product because we can use it for every single client that we serve. It's in the same way, like, if there's a potential fail point, you used the word fail point earlier for the funnel, but it's also a fail point using having a great experience, having a transformational relationship kind of experience with my product. If I can address that problem, scare off the guys that don't need to buy this anyway, because they're never going to be happy. And then the guy who just needs a little bit of education, give him what he needs so he can be successful.
Exactly. Yeah. I would say, before you just throw the product on the table and start recording, just think about it for a few minutes. It's really not, you just, okay, what do I want them to know? And front load that. Make sure that that gets in the video as early as possible. And then you can go down rabbit trails and talk about whatever else you think is cool about your product later on, but hit the main stuff, address any issues that you're seeing that are common, and just make a video, you know? The other thing I will say too, and this is something that I see a lot of people fail at, is they wanna make like three different videos. Well, I'm gonna make an unboxing video, and then I'm gonna make an instructional video, and then I'm gonna make a tips and tricks video. That's YouTube mentality, because YouTube is going to send you on to the next video in the series. Amazon is not that way. Unless you're like somebody like me, who I would consider like a super buyer, I'm not going to watch multiple videos on a product. Amazon's going to have to show me a video. That's going to probably have to be the one, or I'm moving on. Get it all in there as much as you can. If there's extracurricular stuff, if you've got a ton of features, don't hit them all. You can't. Just crunch them down, get the important stuff, but don't do the multi-video thing. I really don't think that's worth it. I've done that with a few, and it's always the one that contains the most information that does well. The other ones just drop off and are almost useless. So I wouldn't waste your time doing that either. One video, no more than 3 minutes, and you're good to go.
And so another thing, by the way, I want to get your reaction to this. So for our CFO clients, let's say we already have 100 or 120 reviews, something like that. And we are trying to figure out what aspects of our product our customers actually care about. Getting a VA or doing this ourselves, it doesn't take that long to go scrape those reviews off of Amazon. And for free, I think there's literally one called freewordcloud.com. You can dump all of that prose, all of the stuff that people write about your product. And so we always do it this way. We have one Google Doc open for 4- and 5-star reviews. All the prose related to 4- and 5-star reviews, boom, goes in that Google Doc. One for frowny face reviews, which is anything less than a 4-star review. And then we get it to generate a word cloud that'll say, oh, wow, I didn't realize this, but the fact that it has the green power cord is apparently really important to my happiest customers. Therefore, if I have to find out how to budget my tiny bit of 3 minutes for this video, I'm going to make darn sure that I highlight the green cord thing, because apparently that really matters to our clients. And then the inverse of that is, if I have a key competitor, I want to find their 1-star reviews, or I want to find their 5-star reviews and see what's converting on their listings and say, hey, influencer or J-Dub, whoever's doing this video for me, maybe I'm doing it. I want you to highlight these three features of our product, because these are the things that people are probably going to be willing to pay a little bit more for us, because our competitors stink at this. I mean, does that resonate with you at all?
Absolutely. I mean, I do that a lot with actually a lot of brands. I mean, a lot of companies that I work with will tell me, because I'll ask them, like, hey, like, what are your main selling points? Why is your product better than a lot of the other ones on Amazon? Like, tell me why. Because at the end of the day, what I need to do is I need to craft a video that people also want to watch. It can't be like me just reading the description page and here's, you know, it's got, you know, 0.75 pixels per square millimeter. They need the real information, right? Like, we're talking about mostly consumers here, right? Not the heavy duty like tech users. They're going to YouTube to find their stuff and, you know, arguing in the comments. This is different. This is like, so tell me why, because I'll make comments like, hey, you know, and this is one of the reasons why I like this one better than most of the other ones that I've seen on Amazon, is because of this green cable. Everybody else doesn't add, they don't add that in there. And I wish they would, but they don't. This one has this in there. So you guys, if you're going to get this one, if you're thinking about getting one, this one's awesome because it has this. It also has this, which I've seen nobody else does. This is the only one I've seen that does this. when you start having people, again, go back to the car mark. If the guy, if you're talking to some Joe Schmo dude who looks like he's a, you know, you're buying a bass boat. This guy looks like he fishes for bass literally every day of his life. And he's like, man, it's got this step up on the back that no other boat has. And I use it all the time. I'm like, dude, you just, that just probably sold me. I don't know why, but like, you're the guy that's telling me that it's what I need. And I believe you. And that's it. Yep. That's really what it is. You know what I mean?
Oh, true. Yeah, I didn't even know I needed to step up, but now I know that this guy's a pro. He's got a trophy. Totally get it.
I'm buying my first boat because I don't know anything. But this guy, clearly, I mean, he's wearing Crocs in the shape of bass. Like, this dude knows what he's talking about. Like, that's the guy that I'm listening to. You know what I mean?
I love it, man. Anything else in particular that's really working right now in your videos for your customers?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, really just... I find the difference between a customer that's really invested in it. So there's two different ways that I get, there's two different customers that I work with. And I would say that you want to be the latter. Let's say a lot of customers just like, hey, we're going to send you the product. Just make a cool video. Just go for it. And that's like, okay, there's a lot of creative freedom there, which is great for me. I like that. That's fine. But there's also a lot of research time for me and it's going to come out pretty good. I mean, I don't think those are always my best. I feel like I want input. I want you to be able to tell me a little bit, you know, the clients that really want it to be useful, send it to me with a list of like, here's the best stuff about it. Not a script. I don't need you to write a script, right? I'm not going to, and if you do, I'm not going to read a script. I'm just warning you right now. Do not send me a script. I won't read it. Give me bullet points. Here's the top five things about my product. Don't just copy your description page. Just think about your product for a second and go, here's what's awesome. Boom. Hit me with that. I am going to then add animation to it. I'm going to be me. I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to make it awesome, fun. And I'm going to probably make some jokes and I'll laugh at myself when I do it. It's just, that's what it's about. I want to be personable. I'll do all of that. You just need to give me the facts. I need to know what you like about your product, why yours is better than everybody else's, like that kind of thing. And then once that happens, you're going to find that's going to be an extremely powerful, you know, way of kind of structuring the video. What I find also works really is just being, you know, like is, if you've got multiple, now this is actually really good too. Let me just, this is actually a really good one. If you've got multiple ASINs, a lot of you guys out there might be thinking like, okay, well, I have like five different products. They're just different variations of the same one. Okay. Send them all and we can combine, we can put them all in one video. I can link multiple ASINs to one video, right? If I'm showing those products off and like, allow me to explain the differences between them. Because I find a lot of people, they're like, I'm looking at this case from spec, but I'm looking at this case from spec and they're both the same price and they both look, they both fit my phone and they look really cool. I'll show them both. We can link them both. Again, it's about packaging as much information as you can in a video in a cohesive way, you know, and especially if you have a very simple product, again, like a phone case, I can't talk for 3 minutes about a phone case. It's going to take me like 15 seconds to talk about this. So let's talk about a few, right? Let's give them some like real food for thought. So now they may not buy the one that they arrived on, but let's keep them in your ecosystem, which is just as good. I mean, who cares what they buy as long as they're buying from you is really kind of the idea.
Yep. No, I think that's so powerful because I think there's so much buyer psychology research out there about, you know, you give somebody like 12 options, they actually get frozen and they don't know. There's this analysis paralysis thing that happens. And what you can do is say, listen, buyer, this version of it is actually the one that's going to meet your needs if you look like this. And if you're, you know, if you're a bald guy like Tyler, you don't need the hair gel, you know, that kind of thing. I just love that level of clarity. I also love what you just described, a great like 80-20 principle there. Like if you have parent-child ASIN relationships, you actually may be able to kind of kill two birds, one stone. The one bird being I can use one video across multiple listings. The second bird is I actually might be able to increase conversion by helping people know which one they want, because then they won't get, you know, caught in that analytical trap, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, use it as an also, I mean, not an intended upsell, but like use it potentially to upsell, right? Like if we're going to do a phone case video, like why don't you send me one of your low cost, your medium range, and then send me your big dog. Let's throw them all in there and show people, here's a quick rundown. Boom. 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. Here's the three. Like, and explain why each individual person might need that and let them decide. They may have come in at the highest one and they're like, yeah, that just seems way more than I need. Cool. Right. Well, instead of them bouncing off and going on, like, let me find a cheaper case from somebody else. Well, we just showed you the one that you should bump down to from us. Let's be smart about it. And it's, again, these videos aren't salesy, right? I don't come across as like, this is the best phone case on Amazon, right? Never say anything like that. Here's the device. Here's what it does. Here's why you're here. And here's the information that you need. Now you decide if you want it. And 52.34% of those people are deciding it's the case.
I think it's another important nugget. You talk about less than 3 minutes. You talk about giving them a lot of information. You don't need multiple videos. There is an authenticity, right? I mean, you're an authentic, and I don't know, I'm going to ask you this question in a second, but like, I would imagine you tend to lean towards products that you A, like, and or B, you know, you're probably not selling a lot of like women's lingerie. I mean, there's categories that you're going to be the right market for. And that's a good thing because you actually can be authentic. And I know you, because I've met you in person a few times. Like, there's an authenticity with the way you interact with products. Like, you can't really fake it, and you can make it a, everyone's watched a QVC infomercial and felt like, yeah, I'm not going to buy it. That guy is really cheesy and it doesn't work. So let me ask you this. So I think I know the answer to this. I know if you have a highly commoditized product, it may still be difficult to differentiate. But the flip side of that is I may need to find ways to try to differentiate. What kinds of brands should consider partnering with Consumer Quest?
Oh, man. I have not met a product yet that I have not done a video for. And my wife does videos. So I do. We do actually do female products. We do lotions and makeup and all sorts of stuff, hair products. So no, there isn't a product, you know, realistically, I don't think there is a category that can't benefit from a good UGC video, right? Yeah. It's really, to me, it feels like low hanging fruit to just, it's, you know, especially in Amazon nowadays, you know, and talking to agencies and sellers and people who, you know, consult with brands and stuff like that. They're just like, we need to do every single thing that we can. Like, SEO, we need to have good images done. We need to have good product photos. We need, you know, like, you just need to be active anywhere that you can. And it's like, the cool thing about somebody like me is, again, I kind of talked about making videos, right? There's a lot, it can be simple, but then it can be also be very, I mean, I have the setup. I mean, as you can see back there, I have like the lights, I got the cameras, I got the whole thing. And it really comes down to just, you got to find the right people. I mean, you hire somebody to do your SEO, right? I mean, you can do it yourself, but it's not easy. SEO is tough. You can write your own description, but it's probably better if you don't. Like, it comes down to finding the right people. And I think you just need to check as many boxes as you can, regardless of the products. I mean, I got fish finders over here from one of the biggest companies, I think, on the planet that owns, like, you know, I mean, and then I have like scent beads, little beads that you make your own scent for your car from a one person seller. It doesn't matter what product you're talking about. You talk about differentiation, right? If you have videos that are powerful and your competitors don't, I mean, there's no way to lose there. So I would say, no, I don't think there's any brand that can't benefit from something like this.
Well, I think actually what's so interesting about this is as the Amazon ecosystem continues to evolve, we've talked about this on a few recent episodes, but version 1.0 was just Bezos selling books. Version 2.0 was you throw any product in the world on there and you make money. You know, 2016 comes and version 3.0 was we needed to now understand the algorithm and the PPC, and we had to actually have real images and stuff like that. And I do think that we're pivoting into version 4.0, not to say that Amazon is mature as a marketplace, but there's a lot more competition for especially right now, we're kind of in a bearish market, a lot of competition for fewer buyer intent, you know, eyeballs that maybe we had a year ago. Therefore, the winners are going to be the brands that execute on the details, and any potential competitive advantage that I can carve out to make my listing, my offering, what makes me unique, stand out to my customers is going to be a huge win. And it's something I could get away with not doing 2 years ago. Just spend a little money on PPC and I'm fine. But in a market where things are a little bit weird, and they are weird, I mean, some of our clients that sell our account are really struggling right now. Not all of them. Some are killing it. Doing something meaningful to add that asset. I view this as an asset on your listing, I think is really crucial. Any final thoughts? I wanted to talk about something else with you real quick, but any final thoughts about Consumer Quest or making videos or, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you kind of nailed it on the head. I think really everybody is so focused on getting people to the product page. And then they assume after that, everything just goes well. But there's more competitive products on listings now than there ever have been. There's more related content and recommendations. And like Amazon's trying to capture just anybody to buy anything. You've got to focus on getting them to buy your product, the reason why they're there. And it's like, I feel like, again, this is one of those things you get a video done, you do it one time, and it just works for you. It's doing nothing but working for you, you know, and that's like, and that's kind of the beauty. And that's what I like doing. I'm a big data guy. And so for me to be able to look at this last year and like see the data that says like what you're doing is actually extremely powerful and it's helping people. And I work with, you know, billion-dollar brands, and I work with like, you know, $100 brands. I don't know how much people make, you know what I mean? And it's like, I get to see these people, you know, grow and stuff. And so for me, you know, I genuinely love checking out products. So I'm excited, you know, so if, you know, if you're out there and you're thinking like, man, this sounds really cool, like, you know, please reach out. I mean, I'm happy to talk you through it. And even if you don't become a client, I'm just happy to kind of show you this world and what this looks like and what it can possibly do for you.
And maybe that's my final question from the business standpoint, J-Dub, is if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, learn a little bit more about Consumer Quest, what should they do?
Yeah, they can go to consumerquest.online, and over there's a form you can fill out. You can reach out to me that way, or you can just send me an email directly, which is jdubb@consumerquest.online. And it's, you're going to get right to me. I'm the one man show right now. So there's nobody in between us. So you're just going to get right to me, and I'm happy to just talk you through the whole process.
Well, that's a great lead in. So we try to end our discussions with two small sections here, J-Dub, and you're a busy guy. I've articulated a day job with a tiny company called Twitch, and you're growing kind of video agency business where you're still the main guy. You're the talent a lot of times. But what do you do for, what brings you joy in your life? What do you do for fun when you actually have minutes that you can have fun with?
Yeah. So, I mean, I work in the gaming industry. I play a lot of video games, play a ton of video games. I'm really into VR right now, which I'm having a ton of fun with my kids. We're doing VR together, which is basically me doing VR while they watch on the TV, which is really fun. So VR is great. And then I'm an avid hunter. I do a lot of hunting. I get outdoors quite a bit in the season. I got a hunting dog that I'm in training with and stuff. So yeah, I got a lot going on.
That's awesome. So it's funny, but we do not currently own like a Oculus or a Quest 2 or whatever, and I want one, and I'm so happy about this. Part of our summer quest, you know, pun intended there, is that I'm doing one of, my kids are 8 and 9, and I'm one of the days of the week I'm doing dad school. We're learning how to invest money and how to give and how to save. And my younger daughter, her goal for the summer is to save up to get a Quest 2, and I was like, yes, this is great. I cannot wait. I'm like, oh, Bonnie, I'm rooting for you. I'm sure that's going to be fun when you get it. What I'm really thinking, J-Dub, is I'm about to get a Quest 2 and it's going to be awesome.
It's so much fun. It's an absolute blast. The mini golf, by the way, is like one of the funnest games. No, VR is amazing. So I play a lot of video, but anyway, so video games is probably my number one thing that I do to kind of to cool down and kind of spend time, and then just getting outdoors and doing a lot of hunting with my family. Actually, my wife is getting into it, which is really exciting. So yeah, and that's the other cool thing is I get to do actually a lot of brands send me like camo gear. I get to work with brands that make that kind of stuff, which is a freaking blast.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. Well, final segment here of the show, and then we'll end for the day. This is ultimately kind of an investment podcast. What we're trying to get to the bottom of here is what habits, hacks, practices give you an unusual ROI? What do you think? I mean, you're a successful guy. You've done some really cool things in your career. If somebody was going to take away from this show, like I was going to spend one thing each week, but like, well, I don't know. Anything pop to your mind that you feel like is a habit, hack, practice that's given you an unusual return on your investment?
I mean, that's a tricky one. I would say my thing is just a positive attitude. I know that's not really like an investment strategy. Maybe it is. I don't know.
This show, for this show, this kind of thing is perfect. So you're on the right track. Keep going.
Okay, cool. Yeah. No, you know, really for me, like, I mean, I don't know how my personality came across during this show, but I try and it's just fun. You know, life is fun. There's some fun stuff to do. And you got to find fun stuff to do, and you got to find ways to do it. And I'm lucky enough now where I do love what I do at Twitch. And so I've kind of found that job. But then this hobby that I was so passionate about with video is like, and I genuinely love when I get to turn the lights on back there and like sit down and like pick up a remote control car and like do the video. And then like, I have to go shoot B-roll. Like, oh shoot, I got to go drive it. You mean I really have to go drive the drone outside? Like, it's a freaking blast. Like, it's so much fun, you know? And it's like, I don't know. I feel like what happens is a lot of people, when you get so worked up about stuff and with business, and it's just, you really do have to find that extracurricular time and invest in that. Like truly invest in that. And for me, what it is with, you know, with my kids, I have kids that are very similar in age to you. You know, I'm doing all of this so that I can invest in them. So we're going like Disneyland. Doesn't sound like an investment, but in the joy and happiness of my family, that's a huge investment. There's nothing else that's more important than that kind of stuff. And so think, measure it and invest the time. Like, as much as you're spending doing something that is like work and business and that kind of thing, you got to invest that time in things that are not that as well. And I think especially nowadays, especially on Amazon, because like you said, the grind, it's getting so congested. It's getting so hard to like find time, you know what I mean? And like, if you can find people like me or people to do SEO, invest in them, offload some of this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, go out there and make videos, but I'm here and I'm happy to help you and clear up that time for you to go out and like have fun.
I mean, I think what's so wise about what you said there, one of my heroes is a friend of mine named Tommy Breedlove. He wrote a book called Legendary, best-selling book, by the way. You should check it out. And I get his daily newsletter. I hate newsletters. I don't get a lot of them. I get a couple. He's one of the ones I get every morning. And actually, he almost made your exact point. It was either yesterday or today about, you know, we can spend so much of our lives trying to achieve something, but what we really want is joy. What we really want is peace. You know what I mean? And so like he actually, when he's coaching CEOs, executives of much larger companies, he actually makes them block on their calendar time for play each week. And I actually think that is probably one of the more meaningful hacks that I've heard on the show here. So that's not a little thing at all. And I will say this, another piece of my story is I was in a mastermind with some extremely wealthy guys a few years ago, and some of them were so miserable. Like they had not figured this out. And so how can I build my business, make a great living, do things the right way? You know, so there's integrity. I want to make money. There's that thing, but also just enjoy life. Life is short. I get a few years with my beautiful wife and my two beautiful daughters, and you're the same way, J-Dub. So I think that's not a tiny thing. That's actually huge. Is how can you not just cultivate PMA, positive mental attitude, but actually like live out fun in your life?
I don't know where I heard it, but it's, you know, once you reach a certain level of financial income, right? Once your needs are met, right? That's kind of it. Like no matter how much more money you make, it doesn't affect any of that. So it's like, just, you got to find time to make sure that that's what's happening next, because otherwise, you know, or if you're super competitive in this, I get it too. A lot of these like CEOs and executives and stuff like that, they're really competitive and they're all about the edge. Go play a sport. Like, yeah, right, you know right, what I mean? Right. Like get it out on that side of things and have fun. Like, yeah, be competitive, be grumpy, but like do it on the baseball field. You know what I mean? Like enjoy it, get some sun, get that vitamin D. You know what I mean?
I love it. It's like church league softball guys or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. Great, exactly. Get out there and do it out there. Like, you know, if you gotta be competitive, see how fast you can run up that hill. Go for it.
Run some hills. By the way, I swore after high school football that I would never run hills. Unless somebody was chasing me.
You'll never find me running a hill. No, that was just a total hypothetical. Yeah, I would never do that.
Okay, to be clear, it doesn't really happen. Well, yep. J-Dub, this has been amazing, buddy. I really am thankful for your time. Appreciate you joining me today. And people are going to find you at consumerquest.online. They're going to reach out to you if they want help with videos for their listings. And then, guys, it's 40 minutes into this podcast. If you've made it, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Return on Podcast with me, Tyler Jeffcoat. If this content serves you, I'd love it. If you liked it, shared it, got the notifications, we need your help because I'm better at accounting than I am at marketing. And so with that, though, I want to end our video and podcast for the week. You guys kill it, and we'll check in next time.